this message, excuse me, this message and any message I give are based upon a particular verse in Acts. It's chapter 6, verse 4. It says something like this. The brothers who continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And so because we will have verses in Ephesians, the Philippians 2, 5 through 11, I want to read them verse by verse. And I just would hope you don't try to examine too much. Just open your being and let the living word enter into your inner parts. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that death of the cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue should openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
This was a deep word that Paul was writing on this message. It's profound. And we are in various spiritual stages because we're a big family. For some of you will hear about these verses the first time. And so you begin by learning that it's there and understand with our spirit and mind, but others are in another realm, and you need to realize every aspect and the outline is not doctrine, it's experiential. And so we begin to look at the outline itself. Knowing and taking Christ as our pattern. So I considered the saints need to know, we all need to know, what does the word pattern mean in this chapter? And so this is one clear definition. Pattern, a spiritual model or a spiritual example given in the scripture for purpose of imitation. In other words, you want to be the same. And so there's this pattern that Christ in his time on the earth he had this pattern. And we're going to see step by step the pattern. And then we will, in the latter part of the message, we'll consider a very profound question we have. When the Lord was incarnated and he came to the earth, and now he's a divinely human person. He has spirit, soul, and body. So just consider, how did he return to the Godhead? We will see when he's coming, when he ascended, when he went to the throne, he didn't lay aside his humanity. And when he comes again to rule the earth, and we hope it will be in our lifetime, very soon he will come and be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords on the earth. But before that can take place, the Lord knows that a significant number of saints of all ages, all races, all nations will have a very particular spiritual development in their being, because Christ was a pattern and he will reproduce himself in us that we would be the pattern. No matter what it involves. So now let's just go through the outline. Knowing and taking Christ as our pattern. In order to experience Christ and living Christ, we must know him as our pattern and take his as our pattern. So we need to know him as our pattern. So just inwardly, our spirit is really calling out to the Lord. We must know. We need to know him as our pattern. Then we need to take, we need to apply Christ as our pattern. In chapter 2, 5 through 11, Paul presents Christ as the pattern. Now listen to this. We need to have this pattern infused into us. And this infusing has just started. I'm sitting here, you're sitting there, you're all quiet, but inwardly, our mingled spirit is very active. Because he wants to infuse into our being the reality of Christ as our pattern, so that he can reproduce himself as a pattern in each one of us. That I don't glorify any brother, even from the ministry of the age, but it's just an example. Brother Nee and Brother Lee, they were a pattern. Because Christ as the pattern was reproduced in them. And in 1974, I was in Detroit, living there in the church life, and I got a call from a co-worker. He did this on behalf of Brother Lee. He said, Brother Lee wants you to move to California, to Anaheim, and work with him on the life study of the Bible. So I went for 24 years to help him message after message. I did not deal with all of them. Our brother Ed shared some later. And so it was day after day, the same kind of work apparently. But when it began, a verse came up from the Old Testament. And I believe it came up because the indwelling Christ caused it to do this. And that is the verse. There's this big animal that's used to go round and round. Round and round to get the material taken care of. And Paul applied that to his service. And I realized, Lord, I'm going to be one serving you like this. I'll be going round and round. But there's one thing I could not only ask, but claim because you want it to me. I need to have my mouth open because as I'm going round and round with the ministry of the word, I want to take in a little bit of everything. And that was a blessing that went on for 24 years, little by little. And we realize that the pattern through the living word must be infused into us. I'm repeating that again for emphasis. And it's not a difficult thing that you turn your heart to the Lord. The veil is taken away. Then you exercise your spirit and open your being, and he will infuse himself as the pattern into you. Not just on the surface, but to the deepest part of our soul. So I hope you would be a genuine open vessel to the Lord. We can't be just open anywhere, anytime with anyone, but in our personal relationship with the Lord. Lord, we settled this. You have access to any and every part of my being. And my request, dear Lord, is that during my time on the earth, you will be able to saturate every part of my inner being. We're all familiar with this verse in Ephesians 3. Christ is making his home in our heart. It's not just words. He wants access to every part of our being inwardly, our heart, He's not visiting. He's making his home. And many of you from middle age and older, you can honestly testify that you were an open vessel to him. And you prayed that he would make his home in your heart. And you realize it's still going on, but you have the inner sense. He has touched so many aspects of my being in his way and time. And my response every time is, Lord, keep on going. Because your character is to do everything thoroughly. B, the pattern of the Christian life is the God-man Savior who emptied himself and humbles himself and who has been exalted and glorified by God. This was the complete arrangement. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. But eventually, as he went through all of that, he was exalted, lifted up, and glorified by God. And the Lord who was here, I love just saying, we can't see him, but he's here. He told us at the end of Matthew, I'll be with you every day. So the Lord, you want to make your home in our heart, don't you? Well, all of us right here are an open vessel for you. Make your home in our heart. And then you'll take us through step by step down to the depths. And then gradually he will bring us to the highest level, seating with him in the heavenlies. In his incarnation, the Lord did not alter his divine nature. He changed only his outward expression from the form of God to the form of a slave. A slave. If you would, not right now, you just turn to Revelation, chapter 1, the first verse. This is written for all the slaves. And I'm glad to testify. I'm a slave. In Revelation 22, we're in the new heaven and the new earth. And we are part of the new creation. And one verse says, you will serve as a slave. But then the next statement was, you will reign over the earth. I know for various many that the word slave is a painful word. But in the Bible, it's not that way. And I thank the Lord very much. I'm not this or that. I'm a slave. It's a privilege to serve you by the indwelling Christ. This is the time on the earth. The Lord will know at the right time to bring us to the throne and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. The Lord became in the likeness of men. The form of God implies the inward reality of Christ's deity. The likeness of men denotes the outward appearance of his humanity. He appeared to men as a man outwardly, but as God, he had the reality of deity inwardly. Christ entered into the condition of humanity, and he was found in fashion as a man. Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient even unto death, the death of the cross, the obedient even unto death. I believe most of you are aware of the night before Christ was captured by the religious ones and put on the cross the next day, that before that happened, he took three of the brothers to be in a certain place where he often went to pray. And he said, just sit and wait and pray. And then he walked some distance, not too far. He fell down on his knees and just say, Lord, is it necessary that I drink this cup? This was the cup of death on the cross. He said, then he realized this. This is your will. Then he went back to look at them. They were sleeping. Then he went back a second time. Then he came for a third time. Each time, he prayed in this way, 33 and a half on the human side, to realize it is your will for me to go on the cross. And this is what he did. Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient even unto death. I'm emphasizing this. The death of the cross. He was on the cross for 6 hours. The first 3 hours, he was just suffering there. But so many people, especially religious ones, would walk by and make fun of him. He said, you're supposed to be the Christ. Prove it. Come down. Come down from the cross. And then after those 3 hours passed away, then the whole atmosphere was very dark. And then all the sins were laid upon him. And all of us, at least one time, in our Bible reading and pray reading, pray read Galatians 2:20, a common verse. But at one point, Paul said this, when you died on the cross, I died with you. We all know that God is absolute. He knows everything. And when the Lord was on the cross, he was God and man on the divine side. He knew that he was dying on the cross for every one of us. by name. Because we know from Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and 5, we were among those before the universe was created. We were chosen to be sons of God by name. And the sovereign God knew exactly when you would be born, where, what country, what race, but disposition. And as the trainees may remember, every now and then I point out, you have a portion of Christ that no one else has. That's why we need so many of you to come to a microphone and share something for 30 seconds. It's a training. It should be 30 seconds when there's a, not a boom, but some kind of sound. Then just after a couple seconds. But because you have a portion of Christ that no one else has. And so we're going to get our portion directly from the Lord. But the vast majority is from one another. We're all on the same level. There's another message coming later with another brother, where we will care for one another, we will shepherd one another, we will go through all together. Okay, A, B, and C. Humbling himself was the further step in emptying himself. Christ's self-humbling manifested his self-emptying. The death of the cross was the climax of Christ's humiliation. That's what I referred to, humiliation. There he is on the cross. People mocking him. What a price he paid. That's why at the Lord's table meeting, what's in me, I'm just going to be very limited. Yes, we have one hymn after another. But I just yearn that there would be some time where we just personally thank the Lord for the price you paid for our redemption. We're here to remember that and to thank you for that and to wait for your coming again, because he told us, I will not be at this table until the coming age. And I'm sure we all want to be at the table with him then. But just to come to the Lord's table, just with this, the inner sense, Lord, for this 40 minutes or so, we're here to honor you. We're here to thank you. We're here to praise you. It's a very tender matter. Okay, five. The Lord humbled himself to the uttermost, but God exalted him to the highest peak and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. God has exalted Jesus, a real man, to be the Lord of all. After his resurrection, at the very end of Matthew, he made it clear to the apostles that I have all authority in heaven and on earth. That is his situation. He is in the meeting. He's in our spirit. He's on the throne. God has exalted Jesus, a real man, to be the Lord of all. This exaltation of Christ was the manifestation of resurrection power. And we'll see, this is from a certain verse, will come up in a moment. But there are many saints. You're not just in the second stage, you're well into the third stage of the experience of life. Many of you have entered into the fourth stage. And I'm mentioning this because you've had experience of the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. You have to go through the cross, and the cross is applied, but that's not the end. Then something will flow out from our being. Every now and then, almost frequently, my wife and I and another sister have a pray time twice a week for about 30 minutes in the spirit of the body. And there's just this realization that we can pray for the Lord on the throne to carry out his intention on the earth. Because his name is above every name, the highest name in the universe, the greatest name is the name of Jesus. The highest name in the universe is the name of Jesus. I'm going to say something, and then you say the same thing. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Right. It's so real. It's not just a name. He's a living person. The time is coming at the end of this age when he will come in two ways. The second way will be physically, to come to manifest the kingdom on the earth. But 3.5 years before that, or even 7 years before, he will come in a secret way for overcoming saints. And he's coming for his bride, the rapture, his bride. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us here and all those on Zoom that are hearing this message in any language, wouldn't it be splendid if all of us at the same moment, wherever we were on the earth, would be raptured to the throne at the same time. This is not just doctrine. It's actually going to happen. The name is the expression of the sum total of what the Lord Jesus is in his person and work. In the name of Jesus means in the sphere and the element of all the Lord is. The result of our confessing that Jesus is the Lord is that God the Father is glorified. God the Father is glorified. In a tender way, I ask you, in a very tender way, have you had any fellowship with the Father today? It's not too late. You may not know exactly what to do, but the Lord Himself, even as we are contacting Him and enjoying Him, at a certain point, He will take the lead to worship the Father. That in 1 John chapter 1, I think it's in verse 3, this is Apostle John, as you all know, is in his 90s. Didn't start writing till he was 90s. If he was here, you might say, Ron, you're a young guy. Well, I'm not. I'm only a little over 4 years less than you. But just this deep inner sense that he could share this kind of profound feeling. Because the result of our confessing that Jesus is the Lord is that God the Father is glorified. And the Lord will take the lead. Now, worship the Father. Bring this to the Father. Bring this portion to Him. This is the great end of all that Christ is and has done in His person and work. And then we conclude, I think, this portion with point C. The principle of this pattern is that someone with the highest life and position would be willing to live in a lowly way. And some mature saints, they live this way. It's just part of their being that no one would have any idea what their history has been. But you just have, they're willing to live in a lowly way. I'm just an ordinary person, nothing special. But if you have deep fellowship, you realize that's the outward appearance. But in the depths of their being, the all-inclusive Christ has been making His home. Okay, now point two. Christ, as our pattern, is not only objective, but also subjective and experiential. And in this section, we'll come very soon to the simple word life. So here's going to be Christ as our life based upon what we have considered prior. Christ as our pattern is not only objective, but also subjective and experiential. Now, we all begin with objective. And if you're new, it has to be objective first. That's a normal thing. But eventually, what is objective will become subjective, because the experience has begun. And it's not just doctrine. But now, the all-inclusive Christ, step by step, is saturating our being. The one who set up the pattern, and who himself is the pattern, is now operating within us as the indwelling God. Right now, he's operating within us. The indwelling God is in us, and he's operating, but not in a powerful way. But when you turn your heart to the Lord and you exercise your spirit and you are deeply at peace, you'll just have the sense, something of the indwelling God, something is going on. I don't know what, I don't know where, but it's a very endearing function, because Christ is spreading himself. He's saturating you. We know from 1 Peter 2, he's the shepherd of our soul. So right now, as the life-giving Spirit dwelling in our deep within, he wants to bring joy and experience to our soul. So he knows right now, in our mind, our emotion, our will. So he shepherds us from within, that we may experience him and enjoy him more than ever before. This is real. This is inward. This is now. The principle of Christ as the inward pattern for our living is that even if we have the highest standard or the highest position, we should not grasp it. In other words, I have this or I have that. I don't hold on to it. That's not my life. That's just an objective thing temporarily in the human living. We need to be partners with Christ in his human living, especially in his emptying and humbling himself, and in his not grasping equality with God as a treasure. So here we are partners with Christ in his human living. So he is living in us the way he lived on the earth, his human living, in his emptying and humbling himself. So in our experience, we will be emptying and humbling. And in his not grasping equality, we're not looking for equality. We just want the way to be wide open, where the indwelling Christ can do whatever's in his heart. D, the Christ who is our pattern is now the life within us. I want to emphasize this. The Christ who is our pattern is now the life within us. That something will take place, that you will no longer be living based upon your natural human life. You still have. But the source will be the indwelling Christ in this way. We have Christ crucified as our pattern, and this pattern is the crucified life within us. Again, the crucified life. We have Christ crucified. And now, the crucified life is within us. This is going to be of great help to realize this aspect of Christ as our life. Will apply the cross to this or that negative thing in our being. It's not just judging us. When he touches it, it's gone forever. That aspect is gone. Christ is taking the place of that part of your being. The steps of Christ's humiliation in Philippians 2, 5 through 8 are all aspects of the crucified life lived out in a full way. When we live Christ, we live the one who is the pattern of a crucified life. This is quite profound. But a number of us here are in this aspect of experience. And certain words in the message will enlighten you and they'll give you an understanding. Because many of you, especially sisters, you realize something is taking place. Something of the Lord is going on in my being. I don't know where and I don't know what. But when the light shines, the Lord will realize, I'm making his home here. I'm saturating this part of your being here and now. It's a very tender, delightful aspect of our personal relationship with him. I just want to read 3a and b all over again. Sometimes I know exactly where I am. Other times I'm not sure. So I don't mind if you help me. You can just say, it's here. I'm not going to hide my weakness, okay? So anyway, I'm going to be in 2d, 3a and b. Taking the crucified life as our pattern opens the gate for resurrection and brings us into the power of resurrection. At this very moment, there are saints all over the earth that are experiencing a particular verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. The spirit of the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is making his home in you. And he's giving life to your mortal body. Many saints, they're not that healthy. They're older. There's weakness in this and that. But simultaneously, they realize I'm experiencing Romans 8:10. The body is a body of dying. But the power of Christ's resurrection is dispensing resurrection life into my human body. And I can tell you it's happening right now. And with a number of you, it's happening in you right here, right now, the indwelling Christ. Because this is more than just a message. The message is the outline, the outside part. It's an opening way for the Lord to minister as the life-giving Spirit into each one of us and to all of us. And some of us need the power of Christ's resurrection, saturating their being right here and right now. By living a crucified life, we can experience the power of resurrection, which exalted Christ to the highest peak in the universe. The highest life on the earth is a crucified life. Wow. The highest life in the universe is the crucified life. Whenever we live a crucified life, Christ will bring us into resurrection. But please don't try to live a crucified life by your own energy. Just turn to the Lord, open your being to say, Lord, may your crucified life be operative within me. Because I'm asking you that your crucified life will bring resurrection into my being and into my living. Again, it's taking place. It's not just words and doctrine. The bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the power that exalts Christ. Now we have a little time on section 3, but we do need the thought here concerning our mind. If we would take Christ as our pattern, we need to take Christ's mind as our mind. Well, we may wonder, how do I do that? To take Christ's mind as my mind. Well, let's see. Paul not only took Christ as his living and expression outwardly, but also took the mind of Christ as his mind inwardly. This will happen if you want it to take place. Just say, Lord, I want to know, have your mind in your way and time. Will you please make your mind, my mind? I'm asking you to do it. And then you don't have to ask anymore. You'll do it in his way, in his time. For the mind of Christ to be in us means that this mind is something living. Actually, the mind of Christ is Christ himself. So we're back to the person again. For the person of Christ is manifested in his mind. And actually, what is in our mind, the mind is the strongest part of the soul, right? Mind, emotion, and will. And then what is taking place properly in our mind, it will affect our whole being. And it will be manifested. We need to open ourselves And let this mind be in us. This refers to the considering in verse 3 and to the regarding of verse 4. This kind of thinking was in Christ when he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and humbled himself, being found in fashion as a man. So what we've been seeing regarding the verses in Philippians 2, now it's applied to Christ himself and what he experiences is being applied to us. And point 3 is a very endearing point and of utmost importance. To have such a mind, that is the mind of Christ, requires us to be one with Christ in his inward parts. Well, we want to have this mind becoming our mind. We need to be one with Christ in his inward parts. This, you look at that verse later, 1:8. He's opening himself. I want you to enter into my being and know and experience my inward parts. And then when that begins, then the Lord will show you a verse in the Old Testament that you will say, Lord, I'm opening to my being to you. You have access to my inward parts. That he will not do this if we are passive or if we just don't know about it. But if we realize, Lord, I'm abiding in you. You're abiding in me. And when I'm abiding in you, I'm in your inward parts, your thoughts, your feelings, your senses. I'm in them. And it's becoming mine. And now in a parallel way, Lord, I'm an open vessel to you, that you have access to my inward parts. The Lord right now is just yearning for saints all over the earth to be open to him in this way. Not just on the surface, even though it's real. I'm opening my being to you that you can come in to my inward parts. And I want to saturate your being. You need to open up your inward parts. And just these simple prayers, your personal relationship with the Lord will be increased and developed in another stage beyond everything you've known in your personal relationship. You can tell him every day, like my wife and I do when we have some basic prayers in the morning. Lord, we're an open vessel. Make your home. You have access to any part of our inner being. Okay, now we come to the final section in Roman numeral 5. We need to know the Son's submission. And so the word submit What does submission mean? But the verb submit is yield to authority. And so there's of utmost importance, dear saints, that you know the divine authority and that you have touched the divine authority of God. Many of us can just testify to you. It's not just a matter of knowing about it. It's not only about seeing it. It's about taking place. You touch him. He touches your being. And then along with this final section, I have a question. But it's not going to be a simple answer, but it's something that will, I think, become an interesting, maybe even an important question. After Christ was crucified and resurrected, how did he get back to God, the Godhood? How could he do it? We know from this verse in Acts 7:55, one brother, he said this, he was about to be boned to death. The religious people were going to kill him, and they did. But he testified, he said this, he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. So Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of God. And I think of a verse in John 3, chapter 13. I can't quote it exactly. No one ever understands. Know me that I am the only one who is here. Yet I'm in the heavens, yet I'm here at the same time. But this word submission is going to be of utmost importance. From time to the end of your journey on the earth. Because if we're living under his authority, then we need to yield to his authority. And we are submissive to his authority, whatever it is. And personal experience, many of us, the Lord doesn't give us the leading to talk about it. But every now and then, in a testifying way, they may say, this is real, that it's settled between me and the Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And I've touched it. And I know what it is. I am living under your authority. And now I'm learning to be a submissive believer. We need to know the Son's submission. The Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus and the Father are one. The Father and the Son are equal, equipotent, coexisting, and existing simultaneously. Philippians 2, 5 to 7, form one section. And verses 8 through 11 form another section. The first section is on Christ emptying himself. The second section is on Christ humbling himself in his humanity. When the Lord came to the earth, He emptied himself of the glory, power, position, and image of his deity. Now we come to a key point. The Father became the representation of authority, and the Son became the representation of submission. Now at this very moment, the Lord Jesus is signifying submission. When the Lord came down to the earth, he dropped authority on the one hand and picked up submission on the other hand. So, saint by saint, this matter will become crystal clear. If you know and honor authority, you are living under authority. And now you realize the indwelling Christ is leading me to be a submissive saint. Submissions. When the Lord came down to the earth, he dropped authority on the one hand and picked up submission on the other hand. While he was living here, he was living a life of submission. Whatever God the Father wanted, what he directed, whatever it was. And that in the lives of so many saints, as I was here and sometime in a fellowship way or in a shepherding way, I was quite close to them to realize you're coming to the end of your journey. That you've been faithful in submitting yourself to the Lord's authority and direction. That's why when Brother Watchman Nee was in Hong Kong, in a very safe place, he could go to UK, go to the United States. But early one morning, he just asked a brother, bring me to the train. He went back into China, and he knew what was taking place, the kind of people that were going to take over the country. And after he was there for a while, he called all the co-workers there to come together. After 1968, after a certain person was centered, was now a president of the United States, he knew this man would not do anything to protect us against this evil power. So all of you have to be ready to be sacrificed. But then he said, except for one. Brother Witness Lee, you have to go to another place. Taiwan. And after that time, they were together waiting for dinner. They were both weeping. And Brother Lee said, why can I not stay here and go through this with you all? I'm not worthy of it. Brother Lee said, we don't know what will happen to all of us. But at least we have with you, you can continue the Lord's economy. And then he was in Taiwan, in an undeveloped place, And he told us, he was lying on his back on the bed, saying, "Why am I here? Why am I here?" And I don't know if I got any answer, but he just realized, of course, this is God's arrangement. And then in the near future, 20,000 people were saved. And churches were established throughout that island. And then at a certain point, the Lord sent him to the United States. And he realized if he has his ministry here, he can go out throughout the entire earth. And we don't have a proper appreciation. He's a member of the body. We don't, and he didn't want us to just say wonderful things about him. But we just testify that the Lord sent the ministry of the age to the United States with a brother that paid a tremendous cost. From this point until the end of his journey. And then in 1964, that's when the Lord's recovery began in this part of the country. Because he was submissive. He was under the throne. If we would submit to authority. This is a great matter. We need to have the mind in us which was in Christ Jesus. All of us should take the way of our Lord, taking his principle of submission as our principle of submission. So on behalf of many other saints, I would just say sincerely that it's settled. I'm submitting to the Lord in any and every way. That I think might be okay as an older person, and maybe some older persons will understand this. The others will later time. Just say, "Lord, this message that Brother Nee gave, the last part of the journey is the last part." And I said, "Dear," to my wife, "I'm in the last part of the journey. It's the most difficult time. And with this dear brother and that dear brother, they finished their course. Now they're in paradise. They'll be resurrected. They'll be a co-king. And I'm still here doing this and that." Then the Lord is very direct. Press on. Continue the journey. In other words, don't compare yourself with anyone else. Just be under the Lord's authority and be submissive to follow his direction. There will be blessing upon blessing beyond anything you've ever imagined. That the sovereign God will be to you and with you and in you, the God of blessing. Blessing and blessing. So all of us should take the way of our Lord, taking his principle of submission as our principle of submission. Whoever knows this perfect will, realize that no sin is uglier than rebellion, and nothing is more important than submission. Only when we see the principle of submission can we serve God. And so we just inwardly pray for all of us. We need to see the principle of submission. Then we can serve God. Because we don't know what God will require, what God will demand, what God will direct. But you're being submissive, you realize, whatever aspect of God's will is, whatever he wants me to do, to be, to go, or whatever, I just say amen. Only when we see the principle of submission can serve God. God's principle can be maintained only by submitting in the way that the Lord submitted. Hebrews 5:8 tells us that the Lord's obedience was learned through suffering on the human side. He learned by suffering. Don't be frightened. This is just part of our existence, our being. And many saints, that's why I would hope that some middle-aged and older saints would come to the microphone. In about 2 minutes, I'm going to be done. It's only 8:52. And of all ages, to confirm the word, and this may sound strange, finish this message. I did my part, and you can do your part. It sounds a little goofy, but actually, it's real. Suffering brought obedience to him. True submission is found when there is still obedience in spite of suffering. The suffering will be a test. Are you thorough? Are you absolute? Or is it only under certain situations that you will do this? When the Lord came to the earth, he did not bring obedience with him. Rather, he learned it through suffering. Now, don't pray for suffering. Don't ask for suffering. Just when it takes place, just be an open vessel and just say, Lord, whatever you want to accomplish, I'm an open vessel to you. You know I'm in pain. I'm in your difficult situation. But I honor you, Sovereign Father God. May your perfect will be carried out in this situation. Salvation not only brings joy, it also brings submission. Only the submissive ones will experience the fullness of salvation. We need to be submissive, even as the Lord was submissive. The Lord became the source of our salvation through obedience. God saved us with the hope that we would submit to his will. Now the time is coming to an end, but just a minute or less. I hope it's settled with each one of you. If not, it will be settled very soon. In Romans 4:11, that verse says, every positive thing in the universe God created according to his will. Then we turn to Colossians. We see the perfect will of God is the all-inclusive Christ be everything to us. And then in Ephesians, the perfect will of God is the church is the body of Christ. And once that is settled, Lord, I'm here. I'm here on the earth. I will not accept the permissive will of God. I choose and will only take the way of your perfect will, whatever it is. Then, once that's settled, then you can, in a personal way, you can say, Lord, what is your will, brothers, about marriage? What's your will? If those are in their second year in the training, Lord, where do you want me to be after 1 year? I am your child, and I have settled it. I want to know and obey the perfect will of God. I don't know any other way. When my first wife passed away, some co-workers had some suggestions of this sister or that sister. I told them, please just stop. Even I myself don't know. But in that situation, what was at the core was, now here I am. What is your will for me from this point on? And he did something quite wonderful. And didn't leave me alone. And now the very last point. When one meets God's authority, submission is a simple matter. And knowing God's will is also a simple matter, because the Lord, who was submissive throughout his life, has already given us the life of submission. Lord, we thank you for giving us the life of submission.
Amen.
We thank you for becoming a human being.
Amen.
And passing through everything revealed in Philemon 2. And now you're on the throne. We just want to not only thank you, in our inner being, we want to praise you for your authority in heaven and on earth. Thank you for training us for a life of submission. We want to follow you step by step until together we are in the wedding feast. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, our brother will direct us what to do now.